Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Kristen's Corner. This is State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill. And for this episode, I'm really happy to be joined today by Mike Kaiser, who serves as the district executive for PennDOT's District 8. Welcome, Mike.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Mike, for our listeners who are not familiar with District 8, could you walk us through what counties your district covers and what your responsibilities are with PennDOT?
Sure. We have a very large district. In fact, it's the largest district in Pennsylvania. It's 8 counties. So if you go across the Maryland line, we have Lancaster, York, Franklin, Adams, and then we go up through into Cumberland, Perry County, Dauphin, and Lebanon. And with my position as a district executive, I have all the disciplines underneath us. So, our maintenance activities, construction activities, our design staff, administration, human resources. We have a large district, about 1,100 employees, and a lot going on every day.
Well, I think to get a better idea of the size of PennDOT compared to other states, District 8 is responsible for more mileage of roads and highways than all of Maryland's transportation department. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's very close. If you look at the state miles of roads that Maryland maintains, it's very, very close to the number of miles that we have here just in District 8. Maryland has a lot of different issues to deal with. They got the DC area. They do a little bit different work in terms of snow removal. The winters are just a little bit different. People don't realize it, but 4 or 5 degrees in a snow event makes a big difference compared to the ice versus some rain and things like that. But we get compared to Maryland a lot since they're adjacent to us. Of course, we have I-83 that connects the two states. But we are very different. I can tell you in terms of funding, for example, we both have, funding for our roadways that come out of liquid fuels. A lot of Maryland's secondary roadways, they call them county roads in Maryland, a lot of those facilities are paid for, as I understand, out of the property taxes, same way with Baltimore City. So, I think it's pretty fair to say that the cost of living is a little bit higher in Maryland. But with those two mechanisms, they are able to probably invest a little bit more per mile than we do here in Pennsylvania because we're just such a large state. So, again, Pennsylvania has over 40,000 miles of state-owned roadways. I believe Maryland's around 6, which is just around the number that we have here in District 8.
Right. Well, and I can tell you if there's one thing that I know that I will probably hear from the folks in the 28th district about is, please, whatever you do, don't raise our property taxes to fund anything else. Our property taxes are high enough. So let's transition and talk about some of the higher profile projects that we have in York County, like Exit 18, the Mount Rose Interchange, Exit 4, the Shrewsbury Interchange, and I know there are many other projects along Interstate 83, including a widening project, and some other updates to various interchanges. So if you could talk to us about the Mount Rose interchange, I can tell you that it's a cause of great consternation, frustration. People have construction fatigue. It's gone on too long. It's been over budget. I know you and I have had so many conversations over the past couple of years about that interchange. Folks in York County want to know when it's going to be done and what we can expect. And I do know, and I need to preface this by saying, I understand that we are currently in litigation, the state and the construction company who's been working on that interchange. So I understand there are some legal constraints. I know when I talk, I don't want to do anything that could potentially imperil the state's case. But if you could give them an update, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, again, we can talk about Mount Rose, and then from there, we can talk about other projects that have gone better. First of all, I think it's important to let your listeners know that in general, we I talked at the Rotary Club a few weeks back, and in our district in 2017 and 2018, we completed 142 construction projects. Just 3 of those out of the 142, so you're talking about 1.5% or so, fell into the category where the contractor fell behind and we had to assess liquidated damages. So it's not the normal way we like to see our projects go. You know, this is a high profile project. It was bid somewhere around $58 million. You know, it's right in the middle of York County, of course, interchange with I-83, which is very important. And occasionally, unfortunately, a job of this size does tend to go sideways. You know, there were a lot of different issues. There's a lot of posturing right now in terms of litigation, in terms of really working out the numbers. You know, PennDOT and the contractors very far apart, and we still have a lot of work to do. So there's a likelihood, very strong likelihood, that that litigation process really will follow the construction itself, and sometimes that can take years. You know, we didn't give up hope yet. I've had several sessions with the contractor to try to work out some reasonable numbers, but it's really, you know, at the end of the day, it's really not fair to the residents here in York County that's had to put up with this. You know, I'm not going to get into the significant delays, other than to say there have been significant delays. We're going to continue to argue back and forth on who was the cause of those delays. The other thing I think it's important to let everyone know is, you know, PennDOT sets the duration of a contract. So we'll go into a project, you know, based on the size of it, the specifics. We set X number of calendar days that the contractor needs to get the job done. How the contractor does the work, that's what we refer to as means and methods, is really up to that individual contractor. And, you know, when you bid a project like this, you're going to have seven or eight different contractors that bid on this work, and each one of them plans and does that job differently. So PennDOT cannot insert themselves into direct, given a direct order, for example, saying you take all your staff and you go over to this bridge. That's a trap we can't fall in as an agency, because the contractor will use that against us on any contract, not just here at Mount Rose, but any contract. They'll say, hey, if there's delays later on, PennDOT, you told us you wanted it done in that order, and now we end up holding the bag. So, yeah, again, we're going to continue to press forward on this. I've told the folks down here I'd really like to see this job, I use the term, substantially complete by the end of 2019. I can tell you it's still going to be a heavy lift just to get to that point. And what that really means is we'd like to see traffic in the final lane configuration by the end of this calendar year. Clearly, the schedule right now would show that the following spring, the contractor is still going to have to come back and pave. But I will say today, there's still a lot that has to fall into the right place to make that happen. So that, now, here's another issue, too. I think it's important for the listeners. Our options here are limited. So if you're not happy, you know, if you hire someone to do your home, fix your house, and you're not happy with it, you hired the contractor, you get to change the contractor. If any contract that PennDOT has, if it got to that point where we'd find the contractor in default, we'd actually have to repackage the whole project and rebid the project. And that would, in itself, on a job of this size, that would probably put everything aside for, I'd say, 9 months at least, where there's absolutely no work going on. So, again, I'd like to apologize for everyone here in York County. It's not the way we like to do business. I'm sure the contractor had different ideas when he submitted the bid. He didn't really expect to find himself where he's at. But the two of us really need to work together and get this job done, and that's what we're doing.
And I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, it's like everything else. We're going to keep everlastingly at it until we can get completion. I think for a lot of folks who are listening, I think the important thing is, what are the lessons we've learned? We're now involved with the Exit 4 interchange in Shrewsbury. I think there is a huge sense in the York County community that we want to learn from the mistakes, the challenges from Exit 18, and we want to assure that those same things don't happen with the Exit 4 interchange. So can you talk a little bit about where we're going with Exit 4 and what we can expect? And, you know, certainly I've said it. I know that you agree with me when I've said that we like it done on time and on budget. So just your thoughts on Exit 4.
Yeah, well, first of all, again, I think there's at least a conversation that you need to have when a contractor comes in from out of state. Now again, the contractor on exit 18 really just came from our neighboring state. But when that happens, obviously the contractor from out of state doesn't quite have all the relationships that a Pennsylvania contractor would have. The benefit for the residents of Pennsylvania and specifically York County, the low bid process does give you the best value in terms of the cost. And it's a competitive environment. You know, I can tell you just on that job alone, the first three contractors, when we looked at the bids, were all within 2% of each other. So, you know, one item number here, one item number there, an extra dollar for a ton of bituminous, that may cost the contractor being the low bid. Getting back to when you're from out of state, you don't necessarily have all those relationships. So again, it's a pretty long process when you bid a contract. There's a process then where you get out and you negotiate with subcontractors, suppliers, you know, a source of material. And, I think just getting started on this job, contractor appeared to struggle to put all those items in line. Also, unfortunately, this one isn't the contractor's fault at all, but in Pennsylvania, you hear an awful lot about utility issues. We have a lot of roads, as I said earlier. There were utility delays on this job, so right out of the gate, I think it was about 159 days or so that we had to add to the contract because simply the utilities weren't able to move out of the way. So, moving forward, I think it's always good to have discussions on what can we do to improve our process. There's federal regulations out there that I think we got to be careful with. You may hear from contractors that would suggest how about if there's an incentive, for example, for a Pennsylvania contractor when you're doing Pennsylvania work? I think that's a conversation that needs to happen, but I'd also tell you that most of our contractors here in Pennsylvania also work across the line. So you got to be a little careful on are you going to drive another state adjacent to us to make the same? For us, again, I think it's a matter of once we see a schedule really significantly starting to slide, what can we do to get in there and try to correct that? So again, the Exit 4 project is about a $30 million project. Kinsley was a little bitter right here in York County. I think they're going to obviously do everything in their power to make sure that job goes well. PennDOT's going to be right there with them as a partner. Because again, we want to show the people in York County that there's a right way to do business. And while we had one project that went sideways, overall, I think the contractors do a good job for us. We just got to make sure we manage this, and we will, to make sure it's successful.
That's certainly very reassuring, and I appreciate that. There are a lot of other projects being proposed on the list of projects here in York County. We're talking about widening Interstate 83 north of Route 30, and a few other things are in the pipeline. Want to just share a few updates on those projects?
Sure. First of all, just from an asset management standpoint, we have several resurfacing projects underway. We had a project, resurfaced I-83. Majority of that was completed last year. That started just north of Shrewsbury there. Went up to about milepost 10. Contractor just about had that finished last year, had to come back and do a few more miles this year, so that job's about wrapped up. We bid another contract then that begins at the milepost 10, same limits of this work, and that's going to take us all the way north to the limits of the Mount Rose Avenue project. That was about a $15 million project. As I recall, J.D. Ekman was a low-bid contractor on that. And again, weather factors into our ability to get a lot of production done during the construction season. Of course, everyone, all your listeners understand that last year was quite a challenge with the weather we have. But if we get even an average year this year, I feel pretty comfortable that that second resurfacing job would be completed by the end of the calendar year. So now we're going to have a very good pavement on I-83 south of the Exit 18 project. Going north, we really have a larger project that we would have liked to work on for a number of years. Was really made possible with Act 89, but the North York Widening Project. So when you look out after all the improvements, what we expect to spend, that's a job that's north of $300 million. Last time I looked at the estimate, it was about $323 million. It would be the full reconstruction of I-83, which the pavement we have out there is old. It's nice to have these resurfacing projects, but at some point in time, you really got to replace the original pavement that was out there. So this will be a full reconstruction. It'll add a lane in each direction. It's going to update our interchanges at 19 at Route 30 and North George Street, which is exit 22. It'll update all those interchanges. It'll actually provide a median in the middle, where right now you just have, if you sway across that yellow line, you're immediately touching the barrier. So very large project. It has a lot of significant environmental issues that we need to work through. That's where we're at right now in the process. Mill Creek, there's a lot of flooding with Mill Creek. So we're going to have several projects ahead of the larger construction project. So maybe I can talk about that for a little bit. Under contract right now, we have a project that will widen the left turn lanes westbound 30 to get on North Hills Road. That's an area that quickly exceeds the capacity there. And, if you want to turn on North Hills Road and your bumper's out on Route 30, that's an uncomfortable position to be in. So that work will be wrapped up here pretty quickly this year. June of this year, we will bid a project to add a lane to North Hills Road itself. Again, if you're heading north on 83 and you want to go east on 30, that's a pretty high move there. So we're going to finish that project. We did a little piece of that earlier a few years back, but this would be from Industrial Road up to Route 30. And then, 2020 is just around the corner here. 2020, we have a project we'd like to bid to improve and actually relocate the northbound on-ramp at exit 22. Currently off North George Street, you have a very tight radius on the on-ramp. You come out on 83, and there's very little, if any, acceleration lane there to merge in with traffic. I'm sure everyone in the area is very familiar with that. This project will actually push our new northbound on-ramp about a half mile up the road on North George Street. It'll be a meet current designs. We'll have a very long acceleration lane, and when we do work like that, we're going to take an opportunity to pave the main line as well. So that's going to help us in a number of reasons. First of all, take care of a safety related issue, a capacity related issue. But when we get back with the bigger jobs then later on, that whole movement's going to be taken out of the picture, so it'll be a little easier to construct with that move being pushed up the road a little bit. So that takes us kind of through 2020, and the plan right now would be, again, if we can keep momentum behind the environmental process and also the right-of-way. Let's not forget about that. There's going to be right-of-way impacts for the various property owners along the corridor here. By the end of 2021, we'd like to bid then the first major reconstruction project for the North York Widening. When I say major, we're looking at an $85, $90 million project, and we would see us doing three of those total then to fully address 83 from exit 19 up through exit 22.
Wow. So we're going to be facing a lot of construction on the Interstate 83 corridor, all the way from the Maryland line up toward Harrisburg. So I'm sure we will continue to have many conversations going forward about keeping those projects on time, on budget, and mitigating the negative impacts to York Countyans who traverse Interstate 83 to and from work every day, including myself. So I often am on pothole alert, pick up the phone, let folks know up at PennDOT. They're always very responsive to me, so I do appreciate that. Changing up the conversation a little bit, back in 2007, the nation's eyes were opened when the bridge that carried Interstate 35 over the Mississippi River collapsed in Minneapolis. And so That bridge collapse led to the death of 17 individuals. And after that event, Pennsylvania went through a process of looking at its bridges. And what we found out was that we actually had the most structurally deficient bridges in the country. So can you talk a little bit about the percentage of structurally deficient bridges prior to 2014, when we really took that comprehensive look at our bridges? And I can say this, that we have in Pennsylvania the third greatest number of bridges in the entire country, and we have more than 25,000 state-owned bridges. So one of the best things about Pennsylvania is we have beautiful countryside and a lot of small streams and creeks and that necessitate having bridges. So can you talk a little bit about our structurally deficient bridges?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, anytime an event like that happens, the transportation agencies across the state, really sit up and pay attention to that in that particular case, that horrible accident there that resulted in those fatalities. Pennsylvania is a very old state. There's only about four other states out there that have a larger network than we do. As you mentioned, we have over 25,000. That's just state-owned bridges, and that's just really state-owned bridges that are over 20 feet in length. And at that time, we had about it was approaching 25% were what we called structurally deficient. Now, that doesn't sound good. I want to make sure that your listeners understand that structurally deficient doesn't necessarily mean the bridge isn't safe. I mean, we obviously do a lot of work in our inspections. What it really means, though, it's an indicator of how much longer that bridge is going to last and how much longer you can carry a legal weight over that bridge. So it's separate than being safe. We certainly wouldn't have a bridge out there that would be in jeopardy of collapsing. That is taken very seriously, obviously. But anyway, it did at least shine the light on the fact that, hey, we have all these structurally deficient bridges. We need to really start focusing on the bridge health, I guess is a good way to say it, in Pennsylvania. So at that time, when you look at that percentage, we were north of 6,000 bridges that were structurally deficient across the state. We've worked very hard. We worked before Act 89 was passed on focusing on bridges. We continue to have, if you look at our program right now, there's still a lot of bridges on there. And I'm really happy to report today that our statewide numbers now are, I believe the last number I saw was around 2,700, somewhere around in there. So we made significant gains in our bridges. Again, there's only so much money. When you tend to focus on the bridges, some of the roadways, maybe didn't see the improvements that we'd like to have. But we do two different measurements we do the bridge count number, and we also do a bridge area, so the deck area. And right now, our deck area in District 8, we got that down under 5%, which is really tremendous. And again, I want to thank all the industry folks out there, for their help on that, because that's definitely a combined effort between PennDOT and the contractors to do that. So that's good news. Again, I'm sure some of your listeners probably were faced with a situation where maybe they had to go out of their way in a detour, especially business owners and things like that. If you have any kind of dairy farmer, anybody in the agricultural industry, whatever it is, if you had to go out of your way because a bridge was posted, you're spending more money. You're buying more gas. So again, Act 89 came into place. We were able to get some more revenues, replace those bridges, and hopefully shorten up some of the folks' commute.
Yeah, we certainly have had many of those here in York County. We've got a great number of roads that traverse all kinds of different waterways, over, under various roads and highways. We even have several bridges that go under PennDOT's jurisdiction. So can you talk to me about what progress we've seen locally to improve our bridges here in York County? Because I think what people may not completely understand. It's a bridge, it's on a road, and they think of PennDOT, but many of those bridges are county owned, and the county's responsible for them. So talk a little bit about that, and if you have any of the statistics on deficient bridges in York County and where we are now, as well as where we've been in the past and where we're headed, that'd be great.
Sure. I'd like to, first of all, give some credit to the York MPO. Again, there's a...
And that's the Municipal Planning Organization, for those who are listening. And we use a lot of acronyms in government. Yes, yes.
So anyway, I want to give the... those folks, shout out to make sure they were focusing on the local bridges as well. And that's an area we're still lagging behind on our state bridges. I can tell you that just in York County, PennDOT has 660 bridges that we're responsible for. Again, going back before the focus on the bridges, those SD bridges or poor bridges, that was probably in the neighborhood of more than 150. We've made a lot of progress on that. We're down underneath 71, I believe was the last number I saw. So again, we made a lot of progress there. The local bridges are lagging a little bit behind. So if you look at the full percentages of local bridges, they're going to be a little bit higher than ours. We've done some things here under the current administration. I believe it was roadmap legislation that was passed in 2016. That was some legislation that, kind of shifted some money that was going to the state police, out of the liquid fuels funding back to PennDOT. Over a period of 10 years, that equates to about $2.1 billion. So there's a lot of resources there. We're still early in the process. I think this is year two. So that's still a small number. But that allows us to do some programs where you can get out there and do some local bridge bundling. We've obviously found out it's like doing your grocery shopping. If you buy in bulk, you can save a little bit of money. And if municipalities allow us, we'll even manage the project for them. Because again, they don't do this very often. If you're a small rural municipality, you really got to educate yourself on the whole process. And then when you're done, you never do it again. So, we have that expertise. We're happy to help out. And we're going to continue to look at opportunities to help the locals as well with this.
That's fantastic. So I want to thank you, Mike. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to give local residents here in York County an update on how their tax dollars are being spent to improve our York County infrastructure. And I do want to say thank you. You always take my phone calls, even when you know I might not be happy. And I often say to folks, don't just complain on Facebook and Twitter. If you have a problem with roads in the 28th district, pick up the phone, call me, call your state representative, because you do take our phone calls. And I always appreciate how responsive you are in trying to find solutions for us. So thank you again. And I want to thank everyone who's tuned in to another episode of Kristen's Corner.